more of the difficult passage in the Bible, and so you weed through them, and then you find something that you do know, and then that often becomes the context. So it's clear in Habakkuk 2 verse 14, that's really clear. It says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." So that's obviously second coming. So that would seem that everything before it is something preceding it doctrinally. And so we'll see if we can weed through this. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to understand your words. I do ask that you'd enlighten our hearts and help us to believe what is written. Help us to know what it's written about. And if it's got some things for us, help us to be able to get it. And if you don't want to show us some things, then we'll yield to that too. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll start again at the beginning of the chapter. Habakkuk had been asking a series of questions of God, and it's about the Babylonian army getting ready to come in to conquer them, and he was basically saying that they're more wicked than our nation, and why are you letting them come after us? And then in chapter 2, he starts off, okay, now I ask all my questions, and I'm just going to sit back and wait for you to rebuke me or reprove me, because obviously I'm wrong and you're right. And so that's where he's at in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "I will stand upon my watch and set upon me the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved." So that's the assumption with this man. Obviously, I'm wrong. You're right. I don't see the whole picture. That's obvious. And I think that's the general attitude we should approach God. Okay, but throw all our questions out there. Throw all the what we have in there. And then just wait for the Lord to answer us. And the Lord answers him. And that's a blessing when God answers. So chapter 2, verse 2, "The Lord answered me." What's worse is God ignoring the person. "The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, sometimes, but make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it." Okay, who's running? Whoever reads this, they need to be on the run. That's the idea. Okay, if you know anything about, if you've read through the Bible a few times, there have been a few cases where God informs some people, you better run. Okay, now people in our country that see the financial crisis, there have been a lot of people with a lot of money who have left our country. There are some in the church, patriot types, that are trying to head to the hills. But then you have people like Jeremiah who refuse to run. And so wherever God would lead a person, I would tend to think God's just going to have us stick around, because folks got to be helped out in these things. But in this case, in verse 2, he's telling somebody to run. Now, if you know anybody in the Bible where he tells them to run, you might think of Matthew 24, where he said, "Let them flee unto the mountains." Okay, so that would be Jewish, Matthew 24. Oh, let's see, 13, 14, 15, about 16 and 17 down in that range. He says, "Flee unto the mountains," and then he says, "Woe unto them that give suck in those days," meaning the idea is, boy, you know, it's going to be tough on mothers at that time. "Flee to the mountains." What mountains is he talking about doctrinally? He's talking about Petra down in the modern-day country called Jordan, possibly the northern part of Saudi Arabia. So he's telling them to run down there, get down there, hide in the rock city, hide in there, and maybe you could make it through. Okay, so Israel's going to be deserted. It's going to be desolate. It's going to be so desolate that in Isaiah 62, verse 4, he calls that place with an uppercase D. He titles it desolate. Okay, that's tribulation idea. So that's where this appears to be going. But he says, make it plain upon tables. Make it plain. Okay, then he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak. Now, we have a second clue right there. At the end. The end is referring to Daniel's 70 weeks. And there's multiple references for that. Matthew 24:13, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Okay, the great prophecy in the Bible, probably the biggest of all prophecies that sets up the calendar system. And if you go with the Jewish calendar, they say we're around 5,722 years, something around that range. But then because they did that in the Roman days, they changed it to the Roman Greco calendar, and they just skipped 300 days. So if you take 300 add to the Jewish calendar, you're up over 6,000. Okay, but again, we don't know what the calendar system's like. We don't know how messed up it is. But Daniel's 70 weeks is a clear calendar in the Bible. And when you run that Daniel 9:24, it says very clearly. Now, what this is very important for our age, because there are a bunch of Christians, and I'm not, saying they're not, but that are saying that the church is going to the tribulation. Okay, Kent Hovind has shifted to that. Okay, I just happened to, Kent got out of jail a couple months back, and so I just happened to see, he's adjusted again. And so he's saying that the church is going into the tribulation, and then they get raptured out prior to the millennium, because that's the wrath of God. But at the beginning of the video, he compares it to Daniel's 70 weeks, and he says, just like the Bible says, he says Daniel's 70 weeks is dealing with Israel. He said that at the beginning of the video, Daniel's 70 weeks dealing with Israel. But then, and then he shifted to the church. He spoke against himself. Now, another fellow that's doing this is a guy named Steve Anderson down in Arizona. You can find him online. It's kind of funny, Sam Gipp, I don't know if Steve Anderson challenged Sam Gipp to a debate or whatever, but he's blasted Sam Gipp. And so it's a funny thing, if you find Sam Gipp online, he is answering Steve Anderson through YouTube, and Sam is sitting in a nursery. He says, the reason why I'm sitting here in a nursery is because I'm going to answer Steven Anderson, because that's about the mental level that he is at 12 years old. And so it's hilarious. And again, this Steve Anderson is saying that the church is going into the tribulation into Daniel's 70th week. It can't be. The church is different than Israel. Now, what these guys are doing, unfortunately, they're dumping Israel totally, and they're saying the church is the new Israel. Okay, when a guy does that, you know they got problem. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 talks about people who are wise in their own conceits, and it says we are not to be ignorant of this mystery that Israel's blinded. And so that's a very sad thing to me when these guys are doing this. Okay, they're failing to remember that the Bible is a Jewish book. Now, we in America, we have a problem with that, where we're always trying to interpret the Bible from a Western mindset. Just like me, I'm pronouncing Habakkuk. And I know that's not how they pronounce it. When I get to heaven, he'll correct me. But we have a tendency, because America was founded on many Christian principles, and because America does have a wonderful heritage, we tend to think that the Bible has shifted to America, but it has not. It is still a Middle Eastern book. Okay? And it's an Oriental book, and we need to always keep that in mind, and keep that the Jerusalem is still the focal point on God's calendar. Okay? And we are just kind of fortunate that Israel turned her back on God, because we got in on the program. That's a blessing for us. So this end, you'll find it in Hebrews 3:6, Hebrews 3:14. You'll find it multiple places. The end is referring to the end of Daniel's 70th week going into the millennial time period. So it looks like Habakkuk is talking about that in verse 3, and that will help explain verse 4. Okay, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Okay, that's significant. Okay, that phrase at the end of verse 4 is found 3 times in the New Testament. Okay, Paul is the one that seems to be the author of those 3, meaning the Spirit of God led him to write those 3 in the New Testament. And you'll find it in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians 3, verse 11. So I want to look at all of them, and this hopefully would show us that there are different methods or dispensations of God throughout history. Okay, and we may not be able to give all the answers that's involved in these things, but I do say that we need to recognize a difference. At least admit that. Okay, I thank God that we are living in an age where salvation is full and free in Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. I am thankful in an age that we can become God's child by belief in Jesus Christ and be born of God, John 1, 12 and 13. The first person ever born of God was the Lord Jesus Christ, and that tells us that nobody in the Old Testament was born again. That's obvious. Okay? All a person has to do is just admit that. There's a lot of things that people tend to assume. Another strange thing is people tend to assume that Adam and Eve, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob kept the Sabbath. That's an assumption. The first person God revealed the Sabbath to, as far as the Bible says, is Moses. Nehemiah 9:14. That's the first one he actually revealed it to, as far as the scriptures state. So, for Adam and Eve, what did they have to rest from? There was really no work for them until they sinned. And a lot of people get that all confused, and they get that Sabbath thing all confused, because that's between God and Israel. It says it quite clearly. Exodus 31 verses 12 to 18. That's between a sign between God and Israel. Okay, this idea, if you would look at Romans 1, verse 17, and remember Habakkuk wrote, the just shall live by his faith. How did Paul write that in Romans 1, verse 17? At the end of the verse, we'll read the whole verse, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, he dropped, for some reason, the word his. Now, the rule of thumb in writing and being an author and things like that is a common sense rule of thumb is that an author can quote his sources, his own book, his own writings, at his free will. He has liberty to quote himself any way he wants because it is understood that he knows the intentions of his writing. Now, if a person is quoting from another person's works, another person's books, then, to be honest, we need to quote it within its context. Okay, I'll give you an example. I remember reading several years ago that Ruckman was writing something about the Pope, and he said that the Pope says Genesis is a myth. I know that they kind of tend to believe that, but I just wanted to look it up myself. So I saw the magazine that he cited. I found the article in the basement of St. Joseph Library at the Catholic School down at Rensselaer. And I found the article where it says that the Pope said Genesis is a myth. And to be quite honest with you, I didn't take it the way he took it. You know, in that case, I'd kind of have to be on the side of the Pope. Because the way the article read that the Pope, what if the Pope would say Genesis is a myth? That's not come out and saying Genesis is a myth. Now, I do know St. Joe College teaches that Genesis 1 through 12 is not literal. I do know that from their own, you know, from talking to some of those folks. But in that context, I would say we want to keep the person's writing within their intended meaning. Okay? Just to be honest, we don't have to worry about it. The Pope's wrong in a bunch of other areas anyway, so who cares? Okay? My intention is to be honest, so that they can't bring something back upon us. Now, in this case, the Spirit of God is the author of the Bible, if we believe what the Bible says, and he's the one leading the Apostle Paul. So the Spirit of God, being the author of his own work, has liberty to quote himself as he so chooses. And in Romans 1, he says, the just shall live by faith. Okay, let's look at another one. Galatians 3, verse 11. The Spirit of God guided the Apostle Paul. In Galatians 3, Romans was the favorite letter of Martin Luther. Galatians was the second most favorite letter of Martin Luther, the man that God used to spark the Reformation. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Okay, just like he wrote it in Romans. So perfect match. Now, since we're right there in Galatians, whose faith do we live by? Okay, Habakkuk said, whoever he's writing to says, the just shall live by his faith. For us in the New Testament, Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's what he says in the New Testament. Okay, so we got Romans, we got Galatians. Let's try the third occurrence that he writes, that the Apostle Paul, it seems like Paul is a writer of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, in the previous two quotations, he ended the sentence and with a period. The just shall live by faith. Romans. The just shall live by faith. Galatians. Hebrews 10:38. Now, the just shall live by faith. Colon. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Why the P.S. here? Why do we have a difference? Well, you say, oh, all the same. No, why do we have a difference? We have to figure that out. And if God wants to enlighten us to tell us why, that's fine. If he doesn't, that's fine also. Because I see that the recipient of this letter is that the title of the letter is Hebrews. And if I get a letter, an envelope in the mailbox, and I see that it's a bill, and I see that it's addressed to my neighbor, I am definitely taking it over to his house. If it's a check, maybe. Okay, but if it's a bill, it's going to his house. Why? Because it's addressed to him. So, this is a Bible rule of thumb. When you come across something in the Bible that's confusing or complex, okay, it's confusing and complex, do not allow the complex to overthrow the simple. What's the simple? The just shall live by faith. For by grace through faith are you saved. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. That's clear. Okay, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's clear. Okay, the complex. Okay, our simple math, 2 plus 2 is 4, should not be overthrown by the advanced math of trigonometry. Okay, 2 plus 2 is still 4, no matter what you say. So if we don't know the answer for Hebrews 10:38, I would say just simply admit there's a difference. That's good enough right there. There's a difference. Now if we want to get some more, if God's going to enlighten us, then we can simply say, well, it's written in Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 2 says about the last days. The last days found 8 times in the Bible. And of those 8 times, it's usually at the end of the tribulation, a millennial time period. Is he saying that there's something different going on in the tribulation time period? That would be the hunch. Okay, and why would that make perfect sense? Well, if the first 69 weeks of Daniel's 70 weeks operated under the just shall live by his faith, then why wouldn't the last? And here's the whole issue about the tribulation time period. Is this, that these fellows that are saying that the church is going to the tribulation, I would dare say that Kent Hovind believes in eternal security. How can someone with eternal security go into the tribulation time period and be in danger of losing something? Okay? There's a problem there. And so this is the problem I see with these men, and until they address this problem and give an answer, then I'm going to stick with what I understand. And I'm going to say that they're still confused. You know, and this is the problem with the Tim LaHaye and the Left Behind series. The problem with those things is, first off, they cannot act out, they can't portray how bad the tribulation is, no matter what. It's going to be so bad it's beyond human imagination. But the problem is that these people in the Tim LaHaye books and Kurt Cameron and Left Behind is they are telling born-again Christian, or they're telling people in the in the church time period, ones who have heard that salvation is by grace through faith, in the tribulation have an opportunity to get the same thing, when it's not true. And the thing is that's a problem. And that's why we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And of course, the church today is not students of the Bible. They're not. Okay, they're students of what? Signs, the newspaper, the media. This whole thing about going on in September, you know, okay, maybe something's going on. It is probably just 7 years, maybe all this stuff. But the problem I'm having from these guys is these guys are talking about this on 700 Club. I don't have much faith in 700 Club. You know, PTL means pass the loot. It don't mean praise the Lord. Okay, in a lot of these cases, it means pull the leg. I mean, Bill Snedlund got interviewed by one of those guys, Paul Crouch. Paul and what's the woman with the big hair? And she, you know, she's got Olympic overcoat on her face. Jan Crouch. Paul and Jan Crouch. Okay, so Bill Snedlund goes out there and gets interviewed by that group of people. And he told me, he said, I couldn't believe all the African relics they had there. And he had some, it wasn't Paul Crouch interviewing Bill Snedlund. Probably because all the devils inside of him wouldn't have been able to handle it. Okay, but Bill said, this guy's interviewing me, and he's doing an hour interview, and he's talking about this wonderful book that Bill wrote, and this great book, and Bill's answering his question. Then when he got done with the broadcast, he said to Bill, could I have a copy of that book? I've never read that thing. After telling him how wonderful the book was. And Bill just said, these people are just nuts. They're goofy. Okay, and that's what happens when they're looking in a camera. These people don't have a ministry. It is a business. Pat Robertson and company, those guys are running a business. And they're hoodwinking these American Christians. It only can be done in America. They're going to pull that stuff. You know, in an Oriental culture, those Orientals would laugh at them. Only that can be done in America. So Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith, but if a man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. How far do you take that? I don't know. I'm not living in the tribulation time period. God will inform those people then. And that's not the only passage. We can run more and more on this idea. The difference between being righteous and saved are two separate ideas. And I am, for one, most certainly glad that I live in an age where we're saved by the shed blood of the Lamb. Okay, so back to Habakkuk. Okay, at verse 5 we got a paragraph mark. And this is a common thing, sadly. Yea, also because he transgressed by wine. He is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlarges his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth upon him all people. Who is that? Well, I would say the best guess is the Antichrist. But notice that phrase, because he transgresseth by wine. Most guys that get themselves in trouble in jail got in trouble because they were drinking or they were doping it up. And a lot of these guys had to get drunk or take dope to get the courage. I guess you can call it courage or stupidity. Okay, to break into something. Okay, a funny video clip, if you want to watch it on YouTube, is entitled Tyrone Goes Shopping. Have you seen that one? Tyrone Goes Shopping. It's a black guy that breaks into this thing, and he comes through the roof, and he falls through the roof on all these bottles, and he's laid out like this. And it is downright hilarious. I mean, the guy got himself, and then he tries to go out the front door, and he can't even get out of the place. And so here comes the cops, and he just lays on the ground and lets them arrest him. I mean, some people, I tell you, some of these guys, I've seen them work harder to steal copper off of railroad tracks and take it in to recycle it, than to just get an honest job for a living. I mean, it's just crazy what some of these guys will do. And they got to be on dope in order to do these things. So verse 5, it says, because he transgresses by wine. Okay, now in this context, I would say the safest route to go on that is he is probably the Antichrist. When he says he gathereth unto him all nations. So that seems to be that implication. And then he enlarges his desire as hell. We can run to Isaiah 14 where that is strictly referring to the devil, where hell hath enlarged itself. And then as death, and you run that to Revelation 6 verse 7 and 8, about the pale horse, where it says death and hell followed him. So I would say that's the most logical place to throw that, but I suppose we figure it out totally when we get to heaven. He says this, shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. Okay, now when he makes a statement like that, a person can quickly jump into the governmental system where people are taking from others things that are not theirs. Now this guy is increasing things that goes to him that do not belong to him. It's called taxation. He says, how long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them. A booty as in a pirate. Okay, where they're getting something. Okay, this idea of bite thee and awake shall vex thee, you know, what he's talking about? Maybe he's talking about the locust of Revelation. Did I tell you here that when I called Mike Caesar? Okay, I called Mike Caesar. That's the fellow that's going to speak for us at the family camp. Mike's quite a character. And so when I called him, he answered the phone. I said, this is Barack Obama. And he did not hesitate. He said, "Oh, good, I pray for you every single day. I pray that you have good health so that when you go into the tribulation, the locusts have something to chew on." Yeah, he said, "That's truly what I do pray for." But that's quite a thing. Okay, so maybe that's verse 7, I don't know. He says this, verse 8, "Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein." Violence is the second most dominant method of governing authorities. The first is deception. Number one is deception. Number two is violence. The Oriental folks, the Oriental governments or whatnot, China and so forth, they won't hesitate at all with the violence. America, they do as all they can. American public officials do all they can to get away with deception. And we voluntarily giving up our rights and we admitting our stuff like that and being deceived by them. But violence will break out when they need it. And they won't bat an eye and they'll keep it pretty quiet. I don't know if people know what's going on as far as alternative health people, practitioners. Five have been found murdered in Florida in the last month. A couple up in the Chicago area. These people who are helping people getting healed from so-called incurables, and now these people are dying, been gunned down by somebody. Okay, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The media's not going to say a thing about it. They're too busy looking for a white cop shooting a black guy to get people all riled up. Okay, but this is going on. Okay, verse 9. "Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetous to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil." Okay, again, this is a bureaucrat coveting so that he can get money that doesn't belong to him so that he can build his house up on high. "Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall and the beam out of the timber shall answer." Now is that literal? Sometimes people say if houses can talk, they might. They just might. You know, I've come to believe that this book says some things that you begin to scratch your head about, and then with time you recognize, oh, that Bible was right. Did not Jesus say when those people, when the Pharisees rebuked the followers of Jesus for crying, "Great is the Hosanna in the highest," and Jesus said, if they are not going to speak, the stones will cry out? Maybe these rocks will cry out. Maybe our homes, the wood and things in our homes, God might call them to testify. Maybe them little cockroaches and bugs, you know, they do cry. They, in Revelation, it says that everything on earth will praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to squish everyone I get my chance to until then and take these mice and squeeze as many as I can. Okay, but maybe these animals God may call up and say, testify. I don't know, but that verse 11 seems to imply that. The stone shall cry out of the wall, the beam out of the timber shall answer it. "Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity." Okay, how do they do that? Common phrase is, what do they call taxation on liquor? Sin taxes. Okay, and cigarettes, sin taxes. What are they doing? They're building their city by these things. And the Bible says, woe unto them. Okay, now in this context, this is what Habakkuk said that's happening in Judah prior to Babylon coming in. And the same thing's going to take place in every country this takes place. Okay, "Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. But that is going to be a glorious time. Verse 14, that is a promise of the millennial time period. That's a promise where nobody has to witness to anybody because everybody knows the Lord. He's the King in Jerusalem. Okay, we obviously know that's not true today. Okay, but that's a promise here. And so doctrinally, that's where Habakkuk is aiming at. And in chapter 3, almost the entire chapter is about the second coming of Christ. So that's that. Now, verse 15. Okay, verse 15, I would say that there's somebody that's been in the news here lately that is guilty of verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Okay, we could say it in this context of this gentleman in our culture, where woe unto him that giveth her, his neighbor, drink, her, that putteth thy bottle to her, and maketh her drunken, so he can see her nakedness. That is a curse from God placed on a person like that. Of course, you don't know everything involved in these things, but obviously something bad has happened. And so, verse 15, that's the idea. That curse there is not two guys with their shotgun in their hanging on their pickup window and with a Confederate flag, you know, with chewing the back in, sharing a beer between each other. You know, which I don't think is a good idea anyway. This is a guy that's intending to take advantage of somebody through drugs or booze. And God says, woe on him. That is a curse placed on that person. It is a curse placed on that person, just like verse 12, where politicians rake in the dough through sin taxes. Just like verse 9, where again, politicians will take money from people that does not belong to them, and they use this money to enrich themselves. And any interesting study is to see some of these congressmen or senators, when they get into that office, they are not wealthy people, but somehow when they step out of that office, they're all wealthy people. It's not like America at the beginning of the days, or America, where you had people like Davy Crockett and Patrick Henry would truly serve the people of this nation without pay. I mean, that's America's heritage, but we have lost that years ago, long time ago. Okay, we're down to verse 15, and we'll stop there. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to be faithful to your words, and Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to appreciate your words, help us know how to apply these things personally, and help us to understand the doctrines of the time period that they're addressed to, and help us to honor your words. In Jesus' name, amen.